this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. We have some great guests on today. In the first half of the show, we have Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's an author and a physician, and today he'll be speaking about beating sugar addiction. And in the second half, we have Dr. A.J. Goel, and he'll be speaking about Boswellia serrata, or also known as Indian version of frankincense. But before we do that, here is Alan with the health news.
Use of artificial sugar by American children and adults has soared in recent years, and the news isn't all that sweet, a new study suggests. Consumption of foods and beverages with low-calorie sweeteners such as aspartame, sucralose, and saccharin rose 200% among children between 1999 and 2012. Their use rose 54% among adults, researchers said. Study author Allison Silvetsky of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., said just 8.7% of kids reported consuming low-calorie sweeteners in 1999. 13 years later, that number had risen to 25.1%. Some were as young as 2 years old, she and her colleagues noted. The study was published January 10th in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Despite the known dangers, many white female college students continue to tan indoors, a new study finds. Indoor tanning can lead to premature skin aging and skin cancers, including potentially deadly melanoma. It's particularly risky for younger people and frequent users, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For this study, researchers at Indiana University surveyed 629 white female undergraduate and graduate students. Just about all of the young women knew that tanning can cause premature skin aging and skin cancer. Moreover, almost 80% did not believe that indoor tanning is safe or any safer than outdoor tanning. Still, about 7 out of 10 said they'd like to get a tan, even though they know tanning may harm their skin. Nearly 84% said tanning makes them feel more attractive. The study was published recently in the Journal of Dermatological Science. A single fecal transplant delivered to enema is apparently no more effective than oral antibiotics in treating recurring cases of a nasty stomach bug, a Canadian study contends. The study is the first head-to-head comparison between fecal transplant and the current standard of care of antibiotics in treating Clostridium difficile infection, the researchers said. Lead author Dr. Susie Hoda said they thought it was important to have that comparison so they could know how much better is it than what they're actually already doing. She's the medical director of infection prevention and control at University Health Network in Toronto. In this study, it looks like they're working about the same, Hoda said. In half the patients, it didn't work, but in the other half, it did. The findings were published recently in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. Could concussions speed up the mental decline of people already at risk for Alzheimer's disease? In a new study, researchers examined 160 U.S. veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The investigators found that concussions seem to accelerate Alzheimer's disease-related brain deterioration and mental decline in people who are at genetic risk for the disease. However, the study did not prove that concussions cause Alzheimer's risk to rise. Study corresponding author Jasmeet Hayes said they found that having a concussion was associated with lower cortical thickness in brain regions that are the first to be affected in Alzheimer's disease. She is an assistant professor of psychiatry at Boston University School of Medicine. In a news release, Hayes said the results suggest that when combined with genetic factors, concussions may be associated with accelerated cortical thickness and memory decline in Alzheimer's disease relevant areas. The study was published online January 12th in the journal Brain.
Jacob Teitelbaum, MD, is a board-certified internist and nationally known expert in the field of chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, sleep, and pain. He is the best-selling author of From Fatigue to Fantastic, Pain-Free 1-2-3, and his latest book, which we're going to be talking about today, Beating Sugar Addiction Now. He is also the author of landmark published research on effective treatments for chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Welcome, Jacob.
Hey, Kathy, a pleasure to be with you today. And I want to start by letting listeners know, before they're fit, I'm going to try to steal the candy and stuff for them. Chocolate is a health food.
Oh, good. So you say we're a nation of sugar addicts. What does this mean?
Well, again, like most addictions, by the time you're asking if you're an addict, the answer usually is yes. And sugar can be just as addictive as cocaine and a host of other drugs. And this is more and more research is showing this. And I'm not talking about the sugar normally in food. If you eat an orange, that's fine. And I have no problem with that. But an orange will have about 2 teaspoons of sugar in it. But if you have 16 ounces of orange juice, well, that's 12 spoons of sugar. And, you're not going to sit down and eat six oranges at a sitting. I mean, go ahead if you want. I'll just sit there and laugh with you. But, you know, but people will slug down 16 ounces of orange juice without thinking. So the main problem would be really sodas and even things like the fruit juices. And we're going to teach you how to read a label really easily so you actually know what the cost is. I'm going to teach you how to, like, really celebrate your sweet tooth and how to savor. Because I got into this, Kathy, because I have a sweet tooth. But I used to, like, eat my weight in sugar every year, as most Americans do, and it triggered fibromyalgia in me. So I learned on the front lines, you know, about this problem, how to have your cake and eat it too.
Okay. How does sugar addiction affect overall long-term health?
Well, you know, you'll see a lot of problems. The American Heart Association is noting that sugar plays a key role in things like metabolic syndrome, diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart attacks, things along those lines. And it's suspected that it probably plays a role in a host of other conditions, including possibly things like dementia, cancers, and a host of other problems. And in the short term, it leaves you feeling like a train wreck, anxious, depressed, tired. So where a little bit can be fun, too much is really a bad news for your body.
Okay, so do we have to go cold turkey?
No, I used to tease that if I had one of my patients say, said you got to come off sugar, who was a sugar addict, and I was walking out of my office at the end of the day in a dark parking lot, and I saw a pair of headlights coming at me, and I saw them behind the wheel, I would duck for cover. No, and the thing is that, again, it's okay to enjoy your sweet tooth. Nothing against desserts. The problem is when you're being driven to the sugar because you're addicted to it. You have the cravings. And there are four main types of sugar addiction. When you treat those, you don't get the cravings.
Okay. So how is your program unique? How you just said that desserts are okay.
Yes, and it's okay in moderation. You know, if I'm out with friends for dinner and I look at the menu and it says, you know, chocolate cake to die for or something, you know, we'll get one piece and the two or four of us will share it, as opposed to getting a 64-ounce Big Burp soda with 48 spoons of sugar in it. So it's a matter of just common sense. But here's the key thing, Kathy. A lot of us have this, you know, if anybody gets between me and that Twinkie, they're dead. It's like getting between a mama bear and a cub. And that kind of craving is a problem. And so what I'd like to do today is teach listeners how to figure out what's causing their sugar craving and how to make that craving go away so they can enjoy the desserts in a nice, healthy manner.
Sounds good. So break it down for us.
Okay, so there's four main types of things, four main types of sugar addiction. And number one is people who are just, they're tired, and they're just exhausted. They're soccer moms. They're working two jobs. They're doing all these different things, and they're just exhausted, and they're reaching for sugar as an energy loan shark. And it is an energy loan shark, and you know how that works out. You know, you go to payday loans, and you're taking a 30% interest rate, you know, it catches up really quickly. So the key thing for that, if you're reaching when you're tired, here's how to make healthy energy. You want to go ahead, and we call it SHINE. You want to optimize sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutrition, exercise. And the key thing to start with, for most of you out there, if you want to almost double your energy within 1 month with healthy energy, there's a simple vitamin powder that I've used in my patients. It's called the Energy Revitalization System. And there's also, of all things, a special sugar that's a healthy sugar. It's the backbone of energy production, called ribose. And we've published two studies now showing that ribose, and it tastes and looks like sugar, easy to take, but it doesn't have the downside of sugar, increased energy an average of 61% average after 3 weeks of use. So my morning energy drink, what I had this morning when I started the day, one scoop of the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder, one scoop of, I use SHINE ribose because that's the best and lowest cost out there. In Canada, I'm not sure if you can find these in health food stores, but if not, you can find it at endfatigue.com. So it's easy to get.
So you can find D-ribose in health food stores. How much would you take a day?
I recommend, in the beginning, in our studies with fibromyalgia, we gave 5 grams 3 times a day. But for most people, just a single 5-gram scoop in the morning added to the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder you'll find by the end of the month, your energy is going to be turbocharged, and it's going to be healthy energy. No loan shark stuff. This is putting gas in your gas tank.
So there's no problem going to sleep at night?
Well, you can't really get enough from the food because the American diet, the Western, is so processed that we lose half of the vitamins and minerals. And if you want to get all the vitamins and minerals you need out of the food, you're going to end up being obese. You just can't get it because of the food processing. And it's a tragedy. It's one of the reasons why I think everybody needs to be on a multivitamin these days, where 500 years ago they didn't need it.
Okay. And is that energy revitalizer, is that basically a multivitamin and mineral, the powder?
Yes, it goes way beyond that. It has all of the key vitamins, minerals, amino acids, energy cofactors, pretty much everything people need to get from their food, except for calories. And it doesn't have iron or fish oil, those are the other things. But all the rest is in there in one drink. It literally, it would take, I lecture at nutrition conferences, so PhDs and MDs at conferences, and I challenge them if they can get what's in the drink in less than 35 pills a day, I give them $50 each. And most people take 60 pills to get what's in the one drink. I don't like people having to take handfuls of pills all day. It's really annoying.
Right.
So this one simple thing, it has people really well covered, and then they can get on with their day and just live their life.
Okay, and the next thing is the hormonal.
So the type 2 would be, for the fatigue, there's a shine, sleep hormones, and that means optimizing thyroid, and we'll talk about adrenal in a moment. Infections would be treating candida, especially. If you have nasal congestion, sinusitis, irritable bowel syndrome, that's candida, and the doctors don't even know it exists because there's no good test for it. But you treat it, and those problems go away. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then get exercise and sunshine. And a really simple way to figure out how to optimize your energy, there's a free energy analysis program. It's just a simple quiz, and it can even evaluate people's lab tests if they want. They can also find that at endfatigue.com. So you do these things, and by the end of the month, people are going to find that energy is skyrocketing. For those with fibromyalgia, this approach has been shown to help 91% of people with an average 90% increase in quality of life, although we call SHINE intensive care in those cases. And we do treat people from all over the world, and most often by phone, for their fibromyalgia, because I had that myself. That's an area near and dear to my heart.
And would you say you don't have it anymore?
It's gone. I mean, in the last 4 months, because my teaching schedule and all this, and I've traveled 90,000 miles in the last 4 months, in addition to all my regular work. So, no.
That doesn't sound like a fibromyalgia patient.
No, it's gone. This is something that's very, very, very treatable, but most doctors simply are not trained in how to treat it. So I'm teaching doctors. I mean, I just, one of those trips was Brazil. I trained 650 doctors, and I mean, it's literally all over the world training folks, but there's no money in it, so it goes slow, so I have to get the medical profession to get interested.
Right. So with the rest of the day, if you've got that kind of energy, do you still crave sugar, or is this actually breaking that addiction cycle of the sugars?
It'll break that, because this way, if you have dessert, it'll be because you want dessert, not because you're exhausted. And then the second kind of craving are what I call feed me now or I'll kill you moments.
Right.
It's where your claws come out, and if anybody tries to stop you from getting that candy bar, they're dead. I mean, you know, just so, and you'll see this a lot in marriage counselors and divorce lawyers' offices. Very often, the problem is just that the mood shifts so quickly when blood sugar drops. You'll also see it in media because of all the deadlines and all the different things that are going on. But that irritability when hungry, it's in a touch of insane. The advertising companies drive me a bit nuts sometimes. They coined a term called hangry, which is when you're hungry and angry. And they said, what do? You take a candy bar. It's like putting gasoline on a fire. You'll feel better for about 10 minutes, and then you will be on the emotional roller coaster from hell. In which case, what do you have to do then? Eat more candy, right? So they figure, this is great. We're going to kill the people reading it and make them neurotic as hell, but we'll sell candy bars. So, no, it's that irritability when hungry means a drop in blood sugar, which basically comes from exhaustion of your adrenal stress handler.
Right. Okay, Dr. Teitelbaum, we're going to have to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to be continuing to talk about sugar addiction and how to break it.